They're often the quirky little things that can make a place feel special. But in recent years, there may be no more than a handful of people left who know how to make them happen. Coming up on today's Travel with Rick Steves, Elliot Stein tells us about some of the people he's met who are among the last custodians of wondrous traditions, things that remind communities from Sardinia to Sweden and Mali to Malabar of who they are. And a father-son team of tour guides brings us their enthusiasm for the corner of France where they live, Brittany. They'll tell us how the region shows off its Celtic heart. It's also home to mysterious standing stones and a medieval city and pirate haven that had to be rebuilt stone by stone after bombing in World War II nearly wiped it out. Let's start out on a lighter note, going out with friends for the evening in England to the local pub. And when it comes to food choices, they've become more diverse and sophisticated from the days of your grandpa's bland pub grub. The Corner Pub serves as a community living room for towns and neighborhoods throughout Britain. Tour guides Deborah Hayburn from London and Elizabeth Boardman from Bath are joining us now for a look at your options for going out for a pint and a decent meal at the local pub. Liz, Deborah, welcome.
Thank you very much, Rick.
So when we think of a pub, that's short for public house, right, Deborah?
Yes, it is.
And tell us what the pub means to English people.
Well, it's a public house, a house for the public. And it probably started off with women making beer at home because water wasn't good to drink. But it's evolved into the place where everyone goes out drinking. Everyone goes to the pub.
It's the local.
It's the local, that's it.
I mean,
you can be a regular.
That's right. You're a regular. They say you're a guest the first night and a regular after that. So I like that. And Elizabeth, how do you choose a good pub?
Often, Rick, it's reputation. We all start with a local. In fact, the description that Deborah just gave you of the public house is perfect. But think of it as it's a community living room. That's the best way to think about it. We're made to feel very welcome. You're made to feel comfortable. How you feel somewhere is often where you're going to go to. And we do have different styles of pub. We have things called gastro pubs, which are specifically geared to doing good food. We have traditional pubs. We have what we call drinkers pubs. Now, a drinkers pub, as the name suggests, they're going for the beers or the ales that are particularly on offer rather than the food. So depending on what you want will depend on where you're going to go. But we all have a local favorite.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's walking distance.
And, you know, as I travel all around England, whether in London or far beyond, you can go to the famous pubs and wait in line and pay a lot of money. And they're usually great. But you can also find just wonderful corner neighborhood favorite.
Oh, absolutely.
And for me, that's the magic thing. When I step into a pub in a small town that's not listed in any guidebook, I step in, there's an energy. You know, the people who run it have been there a long time. It's just like on Cheers, everybody knows your name, that kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, that's
know?
Exactly
yeah.
it.
I
and
just
it's
love
a
that.
Feeling. You get that feeling almost from just looking at the outside.
Yeah.
It's a feeling that you can't really describe, isn't it?
I know that feeling because I spend a lot of time looking for pubs to put into my guidebooks. And when I step in, I kind of go, no, this is not for me. Or there's a feeling here.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, you were talking about some of them are gastro pubs.
They are.
And some of them are beer pubs. Is there a word spit and sawdust?
Yes. Yes. So spit and sawdust would be what we would also term as a rough and ready.
I'm going to write that down. Rough and ready. Spit and sawdust. Because there's a place for a spit and sawdust.
There is.
But if you want a gourmet meal, you're not going to go to a spit and sawdust.
You're definitely not going to go there. You'd order the drink, but you'd probably end up with a packet of crisps. You're not going to want anything cooked.
Or if you don't have very high standards, you could get something cooked and just call it dinner. But that's what pub grub is, I think.
Yes.
So you can get pub grub at a spit and sawdust or what is it called, a rough and ready?
Rough and ready.
But what I'm very impressed by are these gastro pubs. And they're almost like Michelin quality in some cases.
And some of them are.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they take pride in their food. And you know you're going to get not just tired of French fries with your fish sticks, but you're going to get real vegetables and creative cooking. Give us some tips on gastropubs, Deborah.
Well, it's not just the food either. They won't just sell beer, but they'll sell wine. And they'll have an impressive wine list.
That's
and the
true.
Landlord will actually talk you through, like in a Michelin-starred restaurant, which food to have with which wine. You will have fantastic steaks. Yes. Beautiful fish. If it's one by the coast, it'll be specialised in fish dishes.
And these places, you will need a reservation generally.
Absolutely, and you need a reservation.
Yeah, so if it's some really a destination pub, they're jamming. We're getting you ready to pick out just the right kind of pub for a pleasant evening out in England now on Travel with Rick Steves. Our guides to the British pub scene are Deborah Hayburn from London. She specializes in tours of Devon and Cornwall in southwest England. And Liz Boardman, who's an expert on historic Bath. That's where she lives. We post their email addresses with this week's show notes at ricksteves.com/radio. I've got a sense, Elizabeth, that a publican, or whatever you call a guy who runs a pub as a business, he's aware of what makes more money.
Yes.
And I think you make more money just selling a lot of beer sometimes.
Do you know, Rick, honestly, I think it's the other way around.
Is that right?
They generally, the pubs now, generally make the majority of their money on food rather than drink. You can, as we said, you can still get the traditional drinkers' pubs.
Right.
But the majority of pubs now, they are known for their foods first rather than their alcohol.
Well, good.
You can get some fantastic food.
You know, when
really
I just want
prices.
A good value meal, just good food, not pub grub, but really a nice dinner, it's usually just one plate, and it's usually $15 or something like that.
Perfect.
And it is a good, solid value. Anywhere. You go to the good pub.
We'd be taking you to a gastro pub for that.
That's nice.
There is a brewery, actually, in the UK called Wetherspoons, and they own a chain of pubs throughout the whole of the UK as well. And many people love a Wetherspoons pub.
Oh, very popular. Yeah.
Very popular.
Especially their curry.
So Wetherspoons is a chain, and I was going to ask you about that because I've noticed a lot of pubs pretend to be a one-off.
Yeah.
But you know it's a formula.
Their own.
And if you go across town, you see a different one with another clever name.
Yes.
But it's got the same menu.
But the reason I brought up Wetherspoons, they are known for their food and for quantity over quality. You'll get a huge meal.
Yeah.
It's not cordon bleu.
Right.
But it's really good value, and they do breakfast as well.
And as a local person, you can look at a pub and say, oh, that's a Wetherspoons.
Yes, you can.
It's outside as well.
Does
you
it actually
can see
say
it on a sign
they
outside.
Admit that they're a chain?
It's Wetherspoons.
Because they probably have a good reputation, so that's a plus.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's hard to find a one-off pub these days, I think.
Harder and harder.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
And so many of the landlords are giving up now.
Yeah.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking pubs with our English guides, Elizabeth Boardman and Deborah Hayburn. So, Elizabeth, when we say spit and sawdust pub, and what was the other term I was saying?
Rough and ready.
Rough and ready. I would imagine these days, even the most rough and readiest pub is no longer smoky.
You've got it. The pub culture in particular has changed a lot since the smoking laws came in. I mean, I can remember as a child being taken to the pub environment and it would be a haze of smoke and people would just drink there. As soon as we had the smoking ban, people wanted to eat in places. So what happens now is inside is devoted to the food. We now have outside seating as well, and they will segregate the outside seating to a smoker's area and a non-smoking. And it just encourages families, people. It's our community living room again.
I love pubs so much, and I'm old enough to remember thinking, well, I'm going to come out of this pub smelling like cigarettes.
Yes. Oh, that was awful.
That was a long time ago. Yeah. And even if you sat to have a meal and you started your meal and you weren't with any smokers, the table next to you could light up as you're about to eat your food. And it used to be very off-putting. We used to, in the pubs as well, we used to have children's rooms.
Yeah.
And the children's rooms were almost what we would call today a creche. The children would be put in there with a bottle of Coca-Cola, thinking that was very exotic, with a straw. And the adults were actually in the bar area, but it kept the children close.
Yeah, but you can take minors into a pub, can't you?
You can.
And
they'll
just have to buy a soft drink or something.
Because we took our
kids into the pubs long before they were old enough to have a beer.
Oh,
and
exactly.
They were always welcome. It was just because it's the neighborhood, it's the living room, it's the community coming together. People live in a two up and two down with the little houses, you know?
Yes, yes.
And then they want to go down to the corner pub to stretch their arms and see their friends.
It's completely different to going to a bar, which is adults only.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. I just took a sip of my water here, and I'm having such a fun time talking with you guys. because I thought this should be a beer.
It should be a beer.
Because this is the kind of conversation you have in a pub. I could not know you guys and see you in a pub and we could be having this conversation just like that.
It's so easy, honestly.
It's so easy.
It's so,
easy.
And I think the bottom line for all, we just want to feel comfortable somewhere.
Yeah.
And even as women going into a pub, you know, at one time it used to be deemed as very much a male-orientated area. You wouldn't get a woman going in there. These days,
now,
we meet friends.
That's it.
You and I would meet in the pub, wouldn't we?
No.
And you don't have to go in a pub to drink alcohol. I'll go in and order coffees, soft drinks.
I think that's very important for people to understand. You know, because a lot of people just don't like alcohol or they can't drink alcohol, whatever. And you're still part of the party. There's plenty of non-alcoholic options. I mean, I love ginger beer.
Oh.
You can always ask for that.
I love ginger beer.
Ginger.
My go-to tipple.
I think
what's really popular and quite fashionable at the moment as well is anything with elderflower. Elderflower is really popular, and you can get elderflower cordials, elderflower spring water. Yeah,
because that's what people want.
Yeah.
If they're
if they're with
a bunch of people having cocktails with alcohol in it, they just want a fancy drink.
Exactly.
You know? And it doesn't have to have alcohol. And you're part of the party.
Yeah.
And travelers have to remember that.
Yeah.
You can bring the kids. It's not a dark tavern.
No.
This is where the community gathers.
No, no.
It's a beautiful thing. You can get a cup full of darts and toss the darts.
Yes.
If you sit at the bar, that's almost saying, hey, I'd love to talk, I think, more than at the table.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you want to be more sociable, definitely stand or sit at the bar.
Yeah.
Stand or sit at the bar.
I want to be there, generally. Mm. If you want to just, if you're there with a friend and you just want to talk but not be interrupted with other people, grab a table.
Yes, yes. And a lot of, if you don't want to be inside and it's a lovely day, most pubs at least try and have some kind of courtyard outside space as well.
These days it's awfully hot and sometimes everybody's outside.
Yes.
Or everybody's inside, depending on the weather.
Yeah.
This has been so much fun. Oh, man, I want to keep this conversation going in a pub, but right now we'll just dream about it.
You want a beer. That's what
I want a beer, that's right. Well, Elizabeth Boardman and Deborah Haburn, thank you so much and best wishes with your guiding. And thanks for all the joy you bring so many travelers when you meet with them in England.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Rick. Thank you.
Come, have some port wine with me down at the old Bullen Bush.
A journalist with BBC Travel, who's been talking with the last people keeping some amazing local traditions alive, tells us what he's encountered in just a bit. But first, let's hop on over to Brittany for a taste of Celtic France. It's Travel with Rick Steves.